Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called Faith Is, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley explains that a personal faith is a pleasing faith. Enjoy the message.
Rock Church, how you guys doing today? Everybody good? It's good to see you guys. So I want to welcome everybody here. And I want to say this. It is our 11:30 service. And I know at our 11:30 service that it gets crazy in Conway. All right. So I love that. But this is what I know. We have an 11:30 service in Ainer right now. So Ainer, I'm expecting it to be a little crazy there too, okay? I love our 11:30 service. It just gets a little more rowdy, a little more loose. We're a little more awake. So thankful for everybody in Conway, for those of you in Ainer, for those of you watching online, or maybe on demand at a different date. However you're watching, wherever you're watching from, man, we're thankful. And I want you to get connected. Now, when I say that, I mean that for everybody. That maybe you come to the Rock all the time, but you're not connected. I want you to get connected today because it's good to come, but there's so much more than that. That I want you to get connected with some other people as well. And whether that's in Conway, whether that's at Ainer, whether that's online. So make sure you go to the Connect Corner on our physical campuses. We have a Connect Corner on every one. On our digital campus, there's a Connect Corner right there on the screen, and you can get connected that way. And again, if you're new with us, same thing I want to say to you. That get connected, that we would love to know your name because you matter. You matter to God and you matter to us, so we would love to connect with you a little bit further, all right? Now, as we start, I want to start by just simply asking you a question. Just one basic question to start the morning with. And here's the question. What pleases you? Or another way to say it is, what brings you pleasure, okay? Now I saw some of you dudes in the room kind of tap your shoulder on the wife. Good move. Okay? And for those of you who didn't, bad move, all right? All right, so just letting you know, I saw a couple of you make eyes at your wife or tap them on the shoulder. Good decision there, okay? But however it is, there are things that please us. Like think about this. And if this is true, either raise your hand or scream or do whatever you want, okay? But how many of you all, it pleases you when you have peace and quiet? Yes. I'm looking at a mama right now saying, praise. I need some more. All right. But that might please you, right? Or how about this? That the house is clean. Anybody that? Like that's a good one. How about this? That you are pleased when your child actually takes his dish to not just the counter, but actually rinses it off and puts it in the dishwasher. All right, you're like, yes. Some of you are like, I just wish my husband would do that, let alone my kids, right? All right, here's one for you. Students, because I know you're listening as well. How many of you all are happy when all of a sudden at the 11:30 service, your parents just hand you some cash and say, just because I love you? Smart decision. Look at mama and kind of just do it. Sorry. I don't see anybody handing out cash right now. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to be for you, students, okay? But anyway, there's things that please us, all right? Or here's another one. Like maybe you're pleased like when you make a big play on the field, or you get to start a game, or maybe you get a pay raise, or maybe you get a new job, or maybe you get to hold your grandchild for the first time ever, all right? Like that. That might please you, okay? For instance, this was Krista and I on Wednesday night that we got to hold Keely for the first time. And yeah, oh, you can do all that, you know? And here's the crazy thing, that I actually told Clay earlier this week, like before Keely was born, I said, now listen, all right? I'm gonna let you show her first picture at church because I don't want to steal your thunder. And then I held her Wednesday night, and I said, sorry, Clay. You'll get your chance later, but I'm showing a picture of my granddaughter. And here's the reason, one of the reasons why I wanted to show you this picture. Look at our face. Look at how pleased we are. You know what I mean? Like it was just by accident. You know what I mean? Like, we're just holding and we just happened to get a picture taken of us at that moment. And when I saw the picture later, I was just like, look at the pleasure on our face. And I can tell you why. Because it's personal. You know what I mean? Like I hold a lot of kids. I love kids. I love the fact that we got a bunch of kids at our church. But when I was holding Keely, it was personal. And just that personal relationship of, this is my granddaughter, there was just extreme pleasure in her. And this is what I want you to hear today. In the same way, we were pleased and are pleased with Keely because of the personal side of that relationship, God can find pleasure in you. That God is pleased by you. That you can actually, and this might blow your mind, but you can bring pleasure to the God of the universe. Like, little bitty you can make him look at you the way that Chris and I was looking at Keely. That he can look at you and say, that's my child. She brings me great pleasure. He brings me great pleasure. And it happens when we get personal. When you get into a personal relationship with God through faith, it pleases him. So let me ask you another question, which is gonna just kind of roll through the whole morning. If you knew you could please God today, would you do it? I mean, think about that. If you knew you could please God today, if you knew you could bring pleasure to God today, if you knew God could look at you and say, I am pleased with my child, I am pleased with my daughter, I am pleased with my son, would you do what it takes to bring him pleasure? And I don't know your answer. I can't answer for you. You have to answer on your own accord. But my prayer is that you will. My prayer is that you'll say, yes, I want to please God today. And here's the great thing. You can do it. Like for you to bring pleasure to God, you do it through your faith. That faith, when it is personal, is pleasing. It's pleasing to God. And we're in this series that we're calling Faith Is. And with each week, we're adding another adjective to it. Like, week one, faith is evident. Week two, faith is sacrificial. This week, we're talking about faith is pleasing. And faith is pleasing when it is personal. Well, how do you make it personal? Well, here's the good thing, that I didn't have to come up with it. Like I didn't have to go, well, I got to tell people five ways that you can have a personal faith with God, which will please him. No, I didn't have to do that. All I had to do is turn to the Bible. Because the Bible is very clear on how to have a pleasing faith. We see it in the story of Enoch. Now let me tell you about a little bit about Enoch before I dive in. That Enoch, we don't know a lot about him. All right, that we really see two descriptive verses about him in the Bible. One's in Genesis, the other's in Hebrews. We know that he was an old dude. He actually had a child when he was 65. He lived another 300 years until he was 365 years of age. So he's an old dude who had a son. Those are two things we know about him. And then the other thing we know about him is that he pleased God through his faith. And that's what we see if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says this: it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. So Enoch is known as a person who pleased God. And we know that he pleased God, and because he pleased God, God just took him, which I think oftentimes we'll read that verse and we just read right past it. Like, I want you to recognize it, all right? That it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, it says that he's just disappeared. And again, that doesn't happen. Like, that's not normal. I think we all understand that. We all understand that part of life is death. But with Enoch, Enoch is just walking with God. He's just enjoying his life. And then one day, all of a sudden, boop, he's gone. It's just that simple. Like, right? Like he's there. He's walking with God. And next thing you know, boop, he's gone. Could you imagine his family? Like, his family be freaking out. Like, right, you know what I'm saying? Like Enoch's there, and then on the very next step, Enoch's gone. And people be like, Enoch, what happened? Where are you at? I can just picture Enoch going, hey, don't worry. I'm here. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not there, but I'm in heaven. And listen, you know how cool Earth is? Oh, wait till you get up here. And I don't know why it happened that way, but I was there. But now I'm not, so I'm gone. Like that is Enoch's story. That he so pleased God that God said, Enoch, I want you with me. I just want you with me. So you're going to just come on up. How cool would it be to have that kind of story? That God was so pleased with you that he was just like, oh, I got to have you by my side. And see, this is what I think we want oftentimes. Like, we want this, like, spectacular, super faith that people talk about. Like, we want this type of faith that people post about. Like, we want the kind of faith like Moses had in the waters part. We want the kind of faith like David had when he fought Goliath. We want the kind of faith like Joshua had when he asked the sun to stand still. And we want the kind of faith like Gideon had when he went with just 300 men and fought a whole big army. Like, we want that kind of faith. And those are good things to want, okay? Like, that's not bad. We're actually going to talk about many of those stories over the next couple weeks. But my question would be is, why do you want that kind of faith? Do you want that kind of faith so that people will be pleased with you? Or do you want that kind of faith because it pleases God? And I can't promise you that you can part Red Seas. I can't promise you that you can slay giants and stuff like that. But I can say this. You can walk with God and please him. And that in itself would be incredible, would be a miracle, and would be worth noting. And again, we know that because that's what's said about Enoch. Look at Genesis chapter 5. It says it this way about him. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. The key to that verse is this, that he walked in close fellowship with God. And because he walked in close fellowship with God, which is what every one of us can do. Like, that's something that is attainable. We can walk with God when we do it personally. When we say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to have a personal faith. When we do that, God is pleased because our faith is personal. And that faith is personal is seen by how we believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And here's what I want to do. I want us to dive deeper into that. And so I'm going to do it online and here in Conway. And I'm going to have our pastors at our other campuses take over there. And they're going to continue the conversation. That what would it look like if we continued to walk with God? What would it look like if we said, God, I want to walk with you because I want to have a personal relationship with you because I want to have a pleasing faith? You might say, okay, I want to do that. Well, how? Well, again, the beauty is Scripture teaches us. It shows us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 just spells it out. In Hebrews 11, 6, it'll say, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. Let me pause right there. That if you want to have a pleasing faith, then it has to be personal. And the way that it is personal is you have to believe that God exists. Well, like if you notice, the Scripture doesn't say that you have to have a knowledge of God. The Scripture doesn't say that you have to do everything right. The scripture doesn't say that you have to go to church. The scripture doesn't say that you have to pray before your meals or pray before your tests. The scripture doesn't say that you have to have your mama's faith or your grandmama's faith or your granddaddy's faith. All right? Your mama's faith, your granddaddy's faith, that's all good. But your mama's faith pleases God. Your faith has to please God. You see what I'm saying there? That your mama's faith, somebody else's faith, that might please God because that's their faith with God. But it won't help you to please God. For you to please God, you have to have a personal faith walk. That you have to make a decision. That you have to say, God, I believe you exist. Well, like, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that maybe some other people have put their faith into you and have taught you things. But my fear is there's some of you who are maybe teenagers, and you've been going to church all your life, but you've only been going to church because of what your mom or your dad said, not because you personally believe. My guess is there's probably some people have been attending church for 40 years. And you're like, well, yeah, I go to church. This is what I do. But have you personally accepted Jesus? Like, do you believe in who he is? See, it matters so much to Jesus that's what he asked people. Now, if you look at all the encounters Jesus had with people, oftentimes it was one-on-one personal encounters where he's looking people in the eye. I mean, think about the disciples. One day he was sitting around and the disciples were around him, and he said, hey, I got a quick question. Who do the people say that I am? And they're like, well, some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and some say a prophet. And then Jesus gets real personal. And he says, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. You are God. I believe in who you are, Jesus. I think that's the reason Jesus looked at Nicodemus and he said, Nicodemus, you are religious. You are a teacher of the traditions, but you haven't been born again. And Nicodemus is like, born again? I don't even get that. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus looks at him and says, do you not realize that God so loved the earth, the world, that he sent his only begotten son? Like, Jesus is saying, like, he sent me so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And that Jesus looks at the woman at the well and he says, listen, like I need some water. And she's like, well, why are you asking me for water? And he's like, well, if you actually knew who I was, you'd be asking for a whole lot more. And by the end of the conversation, the lady was like, well, I know one day the Messiah will come. But Jesus looked at her and said, I am he. I am the Messiah. Will you believe in me? Then he looked at Thomas, and Thomas didn't believe, even though Jesus had rose from the dead. He said, I won't believe unless I can put my fingers into his wrist and into his side. And one day Jesus showed up and he said, hey, Thomas, put your fingers right here. Hey, Thomas, put your finger right here. Do you believe in who I am? And that exists. Even the apostle Paul, whose name originally was Saul, that Saul was persecuting Christians, that he was wanting to kill people because he didn't believe in Jesus. And one day he's on his road to Damascus, and Jesus showed up in a blinding light and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus. Why are you doing this? What he was saying to him is, do you believe in who I am? And that's the reason I ask just a real personal question of each and every one of us here and everybody watching online, a real personal question. Do you have faith in Jesus? Like, do you believe in who he is? Because it is impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that he exist, which means you don't just believe that Jesus was a good man or a moral teacher or somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. No, what you believe is that he is God, that he is your Savior, that he is the one that can put the pieces back together, that he is the one who can be your Hosanna. Are you with me on that? Like, that's what we got to believe. So again, I ask it real personal. If you knew you could please God today, would you do it? Well, the way you do it is you believe that he exists. Like, that's the first step. But there's a second step that goes with it, that I have to believe that he exists. That is the first step of walking with God. But then there's a second step, and the second step is that he rewards those who seek him. You'll see it right in the scripture. It says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. That he will reward you if you'll actually seek him. And see, here's my fear. For some of us, we don't even believe he exists. Like, I want you to believe he exists. But my fear is, for some of you, you believe he exists, but you're not willing to seek him. That you'll be like, yeah, I know God's real, but it's just too difficult to seek him. Like, I know God's real, but man, I gotta get my finances in order. Like, God's over here, but I gotta get my finances in order. Like I know God's real, but I got my whole life in front of me, so I'll seek him later. Like I know God's real, but right now I'm pretty focused on my family and my marriage and my relationships. What would it look like if we actually believed this verse? Because the verse says that if you seek God, he will reward you. Well, like, don't miss that. That if I seek God, he'll actually bring a reward. That if I said, God, I'm going to seek you in my marriage, he'll actually reward your marriage. God, I'm going to seek you in my finances, he'll reward you in that area of your life. That I'm going to seek God in my career. All right, now let me make sure you hear this. It doesn't mean that you're going to get rich. It doesn't mean that if I seek him in my finances, everything's going to be great with my finances. It doesn't mean if I seek him in my marriage, everything's going to be perfect in my marriage. But it does mean if I'll seek him, there is a reward that will come because he promised a rich and satisfying life. Right? Like it doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect, but it does mean that in the midst of the troubles, I'll be reminded how good God is and that he is with me. See, if I'm going to seek him, then what I need to do is I need to seek him in all areas of my life. Because if I believe he exists and then I seek him in that area, then there's a reward that comes. And you know what that reward is? It's multifaceted. One, it means you please him. And isn't that reward enough? Like, if you knew I could please God today, isn't that reward enough? I mean, it should be, but there's more. It means he rewards you here on earth. And again, it doesn't mean you'll get rich, but it means he'll take care of you. It means he's gonna walk through it with you. That he's gonna reward you with eternity. I mean, think about that. Isn't eternity enough? Anybody thankful to know that you're gonna get to spend all of eternity with God because he has saved you, not that you have saved yourself? You with me on that one? You with me? Like, isn't eternity reward enough? But how crazy is it that God says, no, I'm so pleased with you that I don't want to just reward you with eternity, but I want to give you rewards in eternity. And I'll be honest, I don't get it. I don't totally understand that. Like, I don't understand how if eternity is a reward, that I get to be in heaven, that he's actually going to forgive me, wash me clean, say that I'm accepted, say that I'm approved, say that I'm covered by his blood because of what he has done, and you get all of eternity in heaven, I'd be like, that's enough. He goes, well, that's only the start. I actually want to give you some other rewards. And again, I don't even understand it, but I'll take Jesus at his word. But the problem is, as great as all that is, we often run a different direction. We're often like the prodigal son. I don't know if you know the story of the prodigal son. It's a story that Jesus told. It was recorded in Luke 15. And it says that Jesus said, once there was a guy who had two sons. And his youngest son came to the father and said, give me my share of the inheritance. So the father actually gave him a share of the inheritance, which is crazy in itself. I mean, really, the son was coming to the father saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. I'm done with you. I don't want a relationship. I don't want to be personal. I just want my inheritance. So the dad gave him his inheritance. And then he left. And he went to a distant country. And it says that he squandered everything on wild living. Well, like he blew it on drugs and alcohol and prostitutes and partying. You name it. He just got rid of it. He started using all that money seeking pleasure. And what he found was disappointment. And then a famine came into the land, and he began to be in need. So he hired him out to a local farmer who sent him to the field to work with the pigs. And while he was serving the pigs, he was so hungry that he longed to eat the pods that the pigs were eating. And then in scripture says this, it says, and then he came to his senses and he said, my dad has servants, and the servants have plenty to eat and food left over. He said, I'm going to go to my dad and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against earth. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. So he got up and he started heading towards home. And as he was getting close to home, the father saw him in the distance and ran to his son. And when he got to his son, he embraced him. And his son said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I've sinned against earth. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said, stop this nonsense. He said, go kill the fattened calf. Get a robe, get a ring, get the sandals and bring them to my son, because he was dead. And now he is found. He was lost. And now he was found. He's alive. That the father said, he's home and I am pleased. See, I want you to see the similarities between Hebrews 11 and the story of the prodigal son. That the father was pleased in the son. Why? Because when the son was in a distant country, he believed that his father existed, right? You see it? See how they compare? The guy believed, my father exists, my father's alive, my father is real. He's not dead, he's got everything I need in life. I need to believe in my father. So then he left and he went home. And here's the miraculous part of the story. The dad didn't go, okay, yeah, be a servant. No, the dad said, here's your reward. Here's your reward. Here's a robe. Here's a ring that says you are family. Here's sandals that say you are a son. Go kill the fattened calf, because we're going to have a party, because my son is alive and he is found and I want to reward him. And the reality is the same today. Just as the prodigal son pleased his father, you can please the father today. Will you? If you knew you could please the father today, would you? Well, the way you do it is you have a personal faith, because that is pleasing. And that happens when you run to the father. So that's the challenge. That's the challenge as we head into this time of response. Run to the Father. Run to the Father while you take communion. Run to the Father while you go to the prayer corner. Run to the Father while you take steps of baptism. Run to the Father while you worship. Run to the Father and go to the connect corner and pray with somebody saying, I believe that he exists. I need to get right with him. Now is the time for you to run to the Father. Because he wants to lift that burden. He wants you to be in a right relationship. And he wants to find pleasure in you. Will you please the Father today? Let's run to him. Let's run to him. Come on, church, let's run to him. Let's just run to him. Let's keep going to him. Through worship. Run to him. Right now, run to him.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.